Well, Kiora people, it's good to be here. It really is. Those of you who know Priscilla and me well will know that the last year has been full of change and challenge. And quite recently I said to Priscilla, we haven't been out to South City yet and we need to. And then Pastor Orr phoned and said, would I come? And that solved the problem. So it's really good to be here and we're excited to follow your pilgrimage, your witness in the community. I hope that yesterday does bear fruit, and I hope to see reports of that sort of thing continuing, because I think it's exciting to have a community you can minister to. And hasn't the Lord blessed you with this place? It's really good to be here. People, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. I'll read through to about halfway through this chapter, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at it. John chapter 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes out only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And that far we read God's word, and it is God's word, and we need to remember that. So let's pray as we come to look at it. Our Father in heaven, as we turn now to look at this passage of your scripture, we acknowledge it is your word. It is not just words of men and stories, but the word of the living God. And so as we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would give us understanding. We ask, Father, that you would move our hearts. And we ask that you would draw us near to Christ, that he might be our life, and that we might live all the rest of our days for him. So be with us here, we pray. Be with the children, be with the adults. Father, grant us a real outpouring of your Spirit, that we might soon go from this place, walking with you, serving you, and proclaiming your name, which is a name alone worthy to be praised and honoured. Amen. Well, in this chapter, John introduces three figures of speech, three ideas that Jesus used to show who he was. He says he's the shepherd of his sheep, and they follow him. He says he's the door or the gate, the only way to salvation. And he says he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for all the sheep in lots of different sheep pens. Now, at this point, children, if you've been listening, and I know you didn't get your children's talk this morning, so I'm going to build something into this sermon for you. So I want you to listen, and afterwards I want you to be able to tell me five things. Five things. You got that? One for each finger on one hand. Five things that Jesus tells us he is. Now, I mentioned three, but I want you to look for five things Jesus says he is as we work through this passage. And it's a bit complicated because all this talk about sheep pens and sheep folds and shepherds and sheep, it's confusing. So before we look at the passage, we have to learn something about how they looked after sheep in those days. Now, if any of you have been on a New Zealand sheep farm, you know that they look after sheep in a very simple way. A farmer, I haven't actually heard them called shepherds for a long while, a farmer and a couple of dogs will get in behind a mob of 1,000 ewes and drive them over the hills, down the valleys, into the shearing shed. A gang of shearers will come in, and yes, as in Jesus' day, they're done before the shearer. If you go into a shearing shed, all you can hear is as the sheep pant. And they're shorn, and they're put down a chute. It's all very gentle. Vroom, bang! And when they get into the yard, then they start to bleat. But the sheep in Jesus' day were looked after differently. At night, they were kept in pens. Sometimes a pen could be as small as this space, just a space at the edge of a house for a few sheep. But the sheep pen Jesus is talking about is a big one, because it has sheep from a number of different shepherds in it. So there are a number of flocks of sheep put into the sheep pen at night. It's got walls around it big enough to keep wolves out. You would have picked that up as you were going through it. The wolves try to get in. So the walls are going to have to be fairly high, aren't they? Because I don't know about you, but my picture of a wolf is of a fairly agile animal. So it's got to be high. It's got a door in it that a gatekeeper looks after. And so the shepherds bring their sheep in at night and put them in there. And comes the morning, they come and call the sheep. Now, I'm reliably told that the shepherds do it with all sorts of strange sounds. I'm not going to try and imitate the sort of sound that might happen. But one shepherd would have one sound and another shepherd would have another. And as they called, the sheep would come running out of the gate and go to the particular shepherd. But in this case, Jesus says he calls the sheep by name. And so the picture's different. The shepherd comes to the gate and he calls out, "Hide him, I had Timothy." And Timothy comes running and he calls out another one, "Hey Mary, you come here." And she comes. And one by one, calling these sheep to himself. And then he goes out and they follow. The New Zealand shepherd drives them. He doesn't know them by name. He might have a scanner in his hand and work out what number each sheep is as it zips past him. But this shepherd knows them by name, and he heads off, and the sheep follow. And he takes them to the right place. And so the shepherds take their various flocks around the fields. They feed them, they water them, they look after them. They keep thieves away, they keep wolves away. And at night, they walk them back again. This is the picture of the sheepfold that's put before us. Protection, several flocks in it, a gatekeeper, usually a paid one, and shepherds who know their sheep by name and lead them out to pasture and back at night. But there's something else that will help us understand this passage. Because you'll notice that the Pharisees didn't understand it. And that is fascinating. Because all the way through the Old Testament, God has told his people that they are like sheep and he is their shepherd. But especially in Ezekiel chapter 34, and later on in our Bible study, we'll have a look at this a bit more closely. But especially in Ezekiel 34, there is a message for the shepherds of Israel. I'm just going to read a few of those verses for you now. Verse 2. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? Skipping down to verse 10. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. And finally, by way of summary, from verse 11. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As the shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And that background was known to the Pharisees as Jesus told them this. They would have been conscious of it. And yet they do not understand. And we'll pick up on that in a minute. But you now have that background. There is the story of Israel being told that the shepherds were not caring for the sheep and God himself would come and rescue them. He would be their shepherd. He would be their rescuer. And it's in this context that we have our first big point from this passage. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. And he goes on to talk about how he shepherds. We just sang from Psalm 23, didn't we? The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the picture Jesus is painting of himself. But notice what he says of the shepherd. First of all, he says the gatekeeper, the doorkeeper, lets him in. Now, it's interesting, in the ESV, it talks about a door being kept by a gatekeeper. I'm not quite sure what's there, but there's a little mixture of ideas. A door, a gate, a gatekeeper, a doorkeeper. But the idea is that the fold, the pen, is sealed off. Nobody can get in or out without the gatekeeper or the doorkeeper letting them in. In verse 15, Jesus says he is called by the Father. In verse 17, he says he's loved by the Father. In verse 18, he says he's commanded by the Father. And so he's saying it is God the Father who has let him in to the sheep pen. Now, I wonder what the sheep pen could be, children. What do you think the sheep pen represents? The sheep pen is obviously Israel. And God has brought Jesus, the Saviour, the shepherd of shepherds, to Israel to call his people out. It is the Father who has ordained this. It is the Father who lets him in. It is the Father who says, come and deliver the people of God. And as he does so, you notice what he does. The shepherd calls his own. So he goes into this compound that pictures the whole of Israel, but within Israel there are some that are his and there are some that are not. And he calls those who are his by name. I joked earlier about him saying, "Hare mai," to Timothy. "Timothy, come here." Well, he wouldn't have spoken in Maori, would he? No. What would he have spoken in? Sorry?
Aramaic,
correct, yes. He would have spoken in Aramaic. Not in Hebrew. Out on the farms, they would have used Aramaic. And he would have called, "Come here, Timothy." And Timothy would have come. And the picture we have is that Jesus is calling his sheep by name. But notice what else happens. They all come. Timothy doesn't sit there and say, "Oh, nah, not today. I've had enough of grass." No, Timothy gets up and comes. So does Mary. So do they all. One by one, they come as he calls them. And this is the picture of Jesus coming to Israel and calling his chosen, his elect, out of that mass of people, one by one. And we've seen in the previous 9 chapters in John, not that you've been working through it with me, but if you read through it, you will see one by one they come. One by one, God's chosen come to Jesus and believe. One by one, they find life in him. Not only do they come, but they follow. This is a remarkable thing about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a teacher, I used to tell the children what to do. Right? That was my job. Train them up, tell them what to do, send them out into the world. Jesus does it the other way around. He comes and says, "Follow me." He goes first and we follow him. And all who come to him follow him. You don't find Jesus heading off, you don't find the shepherd in this image, heading off to green pasture and having to stop and say, "Hey boy, you got lost, come." No, no. They are all there, they are all following. Why? Why do they follow? Because they're his sheep, right? He says, "My sheep know my voice and they follow me." They follow because they are his sheep. They don't need to be compelled. They might need to be helped. Oh yes, the shepherd is willing to go back and pick somebody out of a ditch. Or if they get stuck in a briar, he'll un-briar them. He'll get them out of the bush. Sheep are heavy. Just ask John. They're heavy. Right? Sometimes the shepherd has to go and pick them up and move them. This was a man's job. This isn't mamby-pamby shepherding. This isn't sort of sweet Christmas card stuff. This is real hard work. And Jesus is our shepherd. He is the one who labours for us, digs us out of holes, gets us out of the brambles. He is the one who cares for us. Here's what Moses said when he knew he was dying and had to pass on his ministry to someone else. He spoke to the Lord, Numbers 27 verse 15 if you want it. Moses spoke to the Lord saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be a sheep that have no shepherd." And that clearly is the image Jesus has in mind when he pictures himself as the shepherd who goes in and out calling his people by name. But there's something else I want you to notice. The sheep reject the stranger. Do you see that? They will not follow the stranger's voice. And around us today, there are all sorts of voices saying, "Come." Children, you will hear all sorts of reasons why you should do stuff. Why you should think things. Why you should go to places. Lots and lots of. Lots and lots of. Lots and lots of them. But there is only one voice that you should follow. And that is the voice of Jesus. And if you are his people, he is the one you will follow. You will reject the false voices. So our first point is this. That Jesus is the shepherd and he calls us to follow him. Now, Jesus expands on this image in a most unusual way. I don't know how many of you would picture yourselves as a block of wood. It's not very complimentary. Jesus has just pictured himself as this great shepherd, and he wants to explain it because they didn't understand. So he says, I'm a door. I'm a door? Jesus is a door? If you think of the sheep pen, the door is the way by which the sheep came in and out. And as the shepherd stood there, the only way they could get to the shepherd was through the door. And so Jesus says, I am the door. His people come to him through him. There is no way to know God but through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6. A couple of chapters on from where we are, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so in proclaiming himself to be the door, Jesus is saying, I am the only way by which you can be saved. But you notice that expression, saved here, it's a saved about going on being saved. Now, let me think about something. Kids, you're out exploring up in the Waitakere somewhere, or Hunua, or somewhere like that, where you go on the weekend with mum and dad, and you're having a great time, you're going along the tracks, and there's lots of interesting things, and suddenly you look up, and you're on your own. Ever been there? I haven't, thankfully, but I have had to go looking for people who are on their own. And being on your own in the bush suddenly stops being exciting to being pretty grim. And mum and dad come and find you, and you are rescued. And now you're sitting here. Do you think of yourself as still being rescued? No, that's something that happened long ago. But what Jesus is pointing out here is when he says, I save the sheep, he's talking about an ongoing thing. You continue to be in that place of being saved. So when you were rescued, it's almost as if mum and dad keep you rescued. Right? They keep you in that safe place. They will always feed you. They will always look after you. And I'm sure they will. But what Jesus is saying here to us is that when he saves into life. Life that is full. Life that is abundant. Life that doesn't dry up. And it's not just life promised in the future. It is life right now. When you walk with the shepherd Jesus, life is now. Yes, there is an eternity to come to. And, yep, the older I get, the more I look forward to it. There's all sorts of reasons for saying, I'm getting ready for heaven. But right now, the joy of walking with Jesus is incredible. The God of heaven and earth says, I will come and dwell with you. And you will be mine and I will be yours. I am your shepherd. He is the one who gives us full life. Psalm 118 puts it like this. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And we know that this passage is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. He is also the door. He is the way by which we enter into life now and forever. So our second point is this. Jesus is the door. And that means that Jesus and Jesus alone saves and gives life. But now Jesus returns to the image of the shepherd. He now calls himself the good shepherd. Now, the shepherd right back in verse 2 seems like a pretty good shepherd to me. Why does he now call himself the good shepherd? Well, he makes it clear. He dies for his sheep. He dies for his sheep. Now, I know there's at least a couple of farmers here. I'm sure that the farmers really care for their cattle, their sheep. Frankly, they would be foolish to lose their lives to save a cow or a sheep. Sorry, but there's certain value, isn't there? But Jesus gives up his life for his sheep. because it is the only way they can live. He dies for a sheep. He dies for the sheep he knows. Do you notice that? It is for the sheep he knows, the sheep he's called, the sheep who are following him that he dies. He dies for those sheep that they might live. Through his death comes the righteousness we need to be right with God and have eternal life. The only way the shepherd can save us is to die for us. And that he did at Calvary on that cross. He took the place of our sin. And in the place of our sin, he gave us a gift of righteousness. Children, why don't you just get your head around this? Think for a minute of your living. And say suddenly you've got a terminal illness and you're about to die. Terminal means you're going to die. So that's redundant. My wife will correct me on this later. Mustn't use redundancy. Right? You're about to die and somebody says, I'll die for you. It won't work, will it? Right? You're lying in the hospital bed. Someone says, oh, I'll die for you. And they go and lie down on the floor. Duh! Do you come back to life or do you still die? You still die. But Jesus, when he died, he gives life in place of our death so that through his righteousness we can live and do live and live forever. He makes life in us who are dead in our sins and trespasses. He gives it to us freely. And in its place, he takes our death, our sin, our punishment, and dies for us. That's why he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd for his sheep. He dies for them. He's the good shepherd who dies for the sheep he knows by name. But notice this. He's the good shepherd who chooses to die. I have authority to give up my life and to take it up again. But there's something else in this passage that is really neat. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not in this sheepfold. There are sheep that aren't in the sheepfold of Israel. There are sheep who are in the sheepfold of New Zealand. There are sheep who are in the sheepfold of India. There are sheep who are in the sheepfold of China. There are sheep who are in the sheepfold of Samoa and Tonga and Fiji and Iceland and Germany and all over the world. Because Jesus came not only to call his people out of Israel, but to call his people from every nation and tongue and kindred and people. And notice what happens to them. As they come, they are not planted in Israel. He calls them to one flock and one shepherd, a new flock. The people of God, the new covenant people of God, there will be one flock and one people. Some of you might have an authorized version. In there, it's got one fold, and it's a bit confused in its translation. But it's correct to translate it one flock. One people of God from every nation, every tongue, every kindred, every people. One people of God who under one shepherd have eternal life together and worship God. What an amazing thing. So Jesus is the good shepherd. Our third heading. Jesus is the good shepherd, and through his death he is making one flock, one church from amongst Gentile and Jewish flocks. So in summary, we've seen this so far. Jesus is the shepherd. We should follow him. Jesus is the door. We come to him through him alone. And Jesus is the good shepherd who died for his sheep. Live in him. He gives life. But there's something we've missed. We quite reasonably read through John 10 and think this is all about us. But John actually tells us it's not. If you look at the beginning, in verse 1, he says Jesus spoke who to? To the Pharisees. This is odd. Most of Jesus' speeches seem to be to God's people. This one is to the Pharisees. Why does he tell this to the Pharisees? Well, the answer is pretty clear in verse 6. They don't understand. He tells this to the Pharisees because they don't understand. Do you understand that? And the answer is simple. Jesus has said over and over again, his sheep hear his voice. And what's the message to the Pharisees as he proclaims to them, I am the shepherd, and they don't hear his voice? They're not a sheep. And here, as Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, he's not only proclaiming the good news that he is the shepherd for his sheep, he's proclaiming judgment on all who reject him. I want you to note that this morning, people. To reject the Lord Jesus Christ is of enormous consequence. Because to reject him, you will become like the Pharisees, blind and unable to understand. And beyond that, condemned eternally under the wrath of God. Here Jesus tells this to the Pharisees because back in Ezekiel 34, hundreds of years earlier, God had warned them, if you are the shepherds of Israel, do not feed yourselves, feed the flock. Do not care for yourselves, care for the flock. And Jesus has pointed out to them time and time again, their only interest is themselves. And now he says, my sheep hear my voice. You don't hear? Where does that leave you? But even his disciples didn't understand him, did they? Even his disciples were unsure. And yet, without being able to put it all together, they followed him. And I want you to see this. They didn't put all this together till after the resurrection. That's what John tells us. But in the meantime, they follow him. There may well be some stuff you don't know and understand. There might be. Just the odd verse in scripture or some attribute of God that you haven't quite mastered yet. Is that the case? Is it possible you don't know everything about God and salvation? Follow Jesus. Don't sit there and say, I don't know everything, therefore I won't go. Let's think of that sheep, Timothy again. Timothy's sitting there in the sheepfold. He's got past, I don't want any more grass here. I do want grass, but I'm not sure if this shepherd is going to give me the grass. He sounds different today than he was yesterday. I don't. Stupid sheep. Now, sheep actually aren't stupid. They're called silly, but they're quite intelligent. But Timothy isn't, because he won't do what he needs to do because he doesn't understand everything. I've got news for you. You will never understand everything. Not even in heaven. When you see God face to face, you will spend eternity learning more and more about God. You will never know everything that you need to know. Except that this is all you need to know. Jesus calls you to follow him. Follow him. But then there are those who reject him in verse 20. And we're reminded again of Ezekiel 34. As you work through Ezekiel 34 with me later in our Bible study, you will see that God condemns those shepherds and he rids himself of them. I don't know how many of you have employed people, and I don't know how many of you have employed people who are useless. One of the hardest things in New Zealand these days is if you've got an employee who's useless. It takes all sorts of steps to get rid of them. But when you have finally got, and I'm not talking about people who are unfairly dealt with, I'm talking about people who really are ripping off their employer. When you get rid of them, they're gone. There's a sense in which God does not do that. He never sits back and says, they're gone. But he is a God of justice and of righteousness. And he cannot have those in his fellowship who are rebelling against him. He will rid himself of these false shepherds. He will rid himself of those who reject him. He will indeed judge them eternally. And those who heard his voice, verse 21. Well, you know, John doesn't tell us whether they follow or not. You notice that? There are some who say, oh, he can't be a madman. Can a madman open the eyes of the blind? Well, the implication is No, there are not many madmen in Middlemore Hospital working on the sick. We don't expect a madman to be able to do the miracles. So they see the miracles. They know Jesus is who he says he is, but there's no mention that they follow him. And this morning, you could be like that. You could be sitting there, and look, it's a delight to talk to people who are following the sermon. And you could be following every word, your eyes glued to me, your head nodding at the right moment, smiling at the right time. See, I got some of you to smile just then. Right? You could be doing all this, and yet not following Jesus. Seems to me John is pointing in that direction when he says they could see who Jesus was, they did not reject him. But there's no mention either that they went on to follow him. I want you to notice the confidence that you should have in following Jesus. I want you to see that you need right here today to be a follower of Jesus. It is not something to put off. It is not something to work out. It is something to do today, now. Listen to this, Ezekiel 34 again. I want you to notice how much Jesus does. In verse 11, he says, I myself will search for the sheep. In verse 12, he says, I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them. In verse 13, I will bring them out from the nations and gather them. Still in verse 13, I will pasture them. In verse 14, I will tend them. In verse 15, I myself will tend the sheep. Verse 16, I will search for the lost. Verse 16, I will bring back the strays. Verse 16, I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Verse 16 still, I will shepherd the flock with justice. You see, to come to Jesus is not to come saying, I will do something. It's to come to Jesus who says, he will do it all for you. Every single thing you need, he will do. To come to Jesus is to come to the one who will save and keep and guide and care and comfort and resolve the issues. He is the one who will save. And so, I want you to think about verse 10 of John 10. I have come that the sheep may have life and have it abundantly. Or to the full. Will you hear the voice of Jesus this morning and follow him? Right now, the answer is simple. It's either yes or no. There's no maybe. Either tonight, today, right now, you say, yes, I will and I am following Jesus. Or you reject him. Will you hear the voice of Jesus and will you follow him? Let's pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen.